Okay, let's get started with Shoftim Perek Vav. So we are now up to the next story of Gideon coming in, being introduced to the next Shofet. Just one point I ran out of time to mention at the end of yesterday's Shir. It does come up and have to do with this Perek as well. That is at the end of Shiras Devorah. The pasuk tells us, "Va'ohavav kitzeis Hashemesh begvuraso," and those that love him are like the going out of the sun in its strength. Chazal Darshan on that Mishnah, this is referring on that pasuk, ne'ela ve'eno olev, someone who is insulted and does not insult back, someone who is maver al midoseim, somebody who lets things slide, they're like the sun. The strength of someone who does that is compared to the sun. Why is that? It's a good question. Why that is? Why that comparison? But this is the praise that Dvorah and Barak give at the end of their Shira, that those who don't take the credit themselves, but lower themselves and are humble, they're ne'ela ve'eno olev, they are like the sun in terms of service of God. Just related to that idea, in terms of humility, there's a beautiful sma. The sma points out, first sma in Simon Tess and Choshe Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch there says, ma'od ma'od, a double lashon, very much, tzarich hadayon lizayr shalikach shochad. The Shulchan Aruch says you can't take bribery. He has a ma'od ma'od, a double lashon, about not taking bribes. The Sma points out that there are four places in Shulchan Aruch that he uses the double lashon of ma'od ma'od. Be very careful. He has it by ribis, by taking interest. Ma'od ma'od, don't take interest. Ma'od ma'od, dealing with sick people on Shabbos. Ma'od ma'od, be very careful. And ma'od ma'od by arayas. Make sure that one is Zahir and Arayos. Be very, very careful. What is the root of all of these Ma'od Ma'ods? He says it's the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. Ma'od Ma'od Havishval Ruach. Rabbi Levitas says you should be very, very humble. Very, very careful. And if somebody is humble and holds themselves in a certain way, so then Memela, all the other halachos of Ma'od Ma'od will fall into place. I'm not going to try to rip people off. I'm not going to try to charge interest. If the Torah says it's aser, because I know my place, I'm not going to try to take bribes. I'm not going to overstep my bounds in the world of Arayos. If I understand the Mishnah of Ma'od Ma'od Havishval Ruach, that is the root of all of the other Ma'od Ma'ods. Okay, so that's just finishing up last paragraph. Now we get into the story of Midian. So as we know, the cycle starts again, and the Bnei Yisrael are unfaithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they act inappropriately, and Hashem gives them over to Midian for 7 years. And Midian was terrible to them. Midian not only subjugated them, but destroyed their agriculture, destroyed their animals, left famished and drought and nothing to eat. It was terrible. Until Bnei Yisrael cry out to Hashem, and now we are introduced to a somewhat unknown figure. An unknown figure, Gideon. Gideon, the son of Yoash. We don't even know his name at the beginning. He says, the Malach Hashem is going to appear to Yoash, and his son is busy threshing in the gat, as we'll see. And the Malach says that one should Gideon, you should get up, and Hashem's going to help you. And Gideon says, "Really? Why hasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us all these years? Right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and did everything for us, why hasn't He helped us?" He says, "But now's the time, Gideon." So Gideon says, "Okay, give me a sign." So as we will see in the psukim, he asks for a sign. The Malach Hashem tells him to take some meat, take some bread, put it on the rock. All of a sudden, a fire of God shoots down and eats up. And he says, "Whoa, I guess this is serious. I guess it's serious business." And Gideon goes, and the first thing he's commanded to do, which he does, is to chop down his father's Avodah Zarah tree, his Asherah tree, take the wood that he chop down, build a mizbeach, and sacrifice the super special animal that they were waiting to use as a carbon for 7 years. And they sacrifice this animal, and that's it. And all the people of the area wake up in the morning like, "Oh my God, what happened to our idol? What happened to our Avodah Zarah animal?" And they go and they realize who did it. And they go to Yoash and they say, "Your son did it. Your son did it. Punish him." And the father says to them, one of the greatest lines, "The idol can fight for himself. I don't have to go and fight for him." Obviously, recognizing the sarcasm and the futility in the belief, even though he himself was an Avodah Zarah, "I'm not laying a hand on my son Gideon." He renames him Yerubbaal, the one who was Yeru, the one who fought with the Baal. And then we start reading about the fight that Gideon is going to put up. The fight is in the next parak, but we see in this parak he starts thinking about what he's going to do. But then towards the end of the parak, he again says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need another sign. We have to talk about this, and he puts a little wool on the floor of the threshing floor, and he says, if everything's wet and this is dry, so then we will know that you are the one that is commanding me. If everything is wet and this is dry, if everything is dry and this is wet, he goes back and forth both sides, and it happens the next morning, everything is wet except for here, everything is dry except for here, and Gideon says, okay, I'm ready. And that's how the Perek ends, setting the stage for the next battle, which will be in Perek Zion. So now let's go through Perek Vav slowly and figure out the messages and the ideas that we can learn. So, Vayasu Bnei Yisrael Rabbanei Hashem, they again do bad, and they are given over to Midian. So far, we have been given over to Moab, we've been given over to the Canaanim, and this is for 7 years. Vata'az Yad Midian al Yisrael. They were very strong. Bnei Yisrael even had to build trenches, min harot, because it was so terrible. Every time they planted something, what does it say? Vayashchisu es Yevul Haaretz, Pasuk Dalet. They destroyed the Yevul. Ad Boach Ha'aza. V'lo Yashiru Michra B'Yisrael V'Sev Asher V'Chamar. They were destructive. That's how the Midianim, that's the game the Midianim played. What they do with their enemies, they destroyed their property, they destroyed their crops, they destroyed everything. This is the exact opposite of what we do. There's an Isser Daraisa in Parsha Shoftim. When we besiege a city, we are not allowed to cut down the trees. We are not allowed to uproot the plant life. Right? It's an Isser Bal Tashchis. What's the context of Bal Tashchis in the Torah? Cutting down fruit trees. Cutting down the trees of our enemies. The Torah tells us. Kisatsura liyo yamim rabim. In Parsha Shoftim. Not to be confused with Sefer Shoftim. Back in Parsha Shoftim, when you besiege a city, Lilachem alel safsa, lo sashchas ez etzel in dochel of garzen. Do not put an axe to the tree, because kimimenu tochel vosolo sichros. Do not cut it. Rak etz asher teta, the non-fruit-bearing trees that will not produce for you, so that you are allowed to destroy. And the Sefer HaKhanef discusses this in Taf Kuf Chaf Tes, the Isser of Bal Tashchis has a twofold problem. Number one, you are destroying the goodness that you should be getting benefit from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you wonderful items that you should get benefit from. Number two, says the Sefer HaChinuch in his classic style, because if I'm involved in destructive acts, I'm going to become a destructive person. And it's going to affect me. As he writes 100 times in his Sefer, Acharei ha-pe'ulos nimshachos halavavos. Hashem doesn't want us to be destructive people. So he commands us not to be involved in destructive acts. That's the exact opposite of what the Midianim do here. How do they get to us? They destroy everything around. Good. So what happens? Vayidal, Pasuk Vav. Vayidal Yisrael ma'od mipnei Midian. They become very, very literally poor. They have nothing. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. They start screaming. They're screaming to Hashem. Vayishlach Pasuk Ches. Vayishlach Hashem Ishnavi el b'nei Yisrael. Hashem sends an Ishnavi. Who is this Ishnavi? Who says to them, Hashem took you out of Egypt, and I took you out of Mitzrayim, and I brought you here, and you left me, you're not listening to me, and that's why all this trouble is happening to you. Who is this Ishnavi? Says Rashi, says the Radak, Pinchas. Again, Pinchas is behind the scenes here. He is the Ishnavi. Asks the Ralbag, Gersonides, Yesh Lishol. If Pinchas was the one that was around, so why hasn't he been screaming at them all these years? All of a sudden, after 7 years, and they start screaming, he goes and says, no, what's their problem? He has to wait. You know, Pinchas has been around since the time of Yeshua. So why hasn't he been the main man in terms of, you know, in the times of Ehud, in the times of Devorah and Barak, now in the times of Gidon? So why is he on the sidelines? He's the Navi. The Yesh Lishol. Ask the Ralbag. Why do we need that? Explains the Ralbag. It must be that Pinchas wasn't a Navi like other Naviim. He wasn't the appointed Navi of the generation who was there to give prophecies and talk to the people. He had Nevuah at various times. Remember, one of the differences between Moshe Rabbeinu and all other Nevi'im is that only Moshe chose if he wanted to start a meeting with God. All the other Nevi'im just had to wait. If Hashem spoke to them, fine. If not, not. You could go 30 years without HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you. Right? It's up to Hashem. So here too. So Pinchas was only spoken to by Hashem by Itim Rechokos. V'lo hayamanig asam. He wasn't a real manhig. And he wasn't given that job. V'efshar. And he even compares it. He's just like Kimo Bismanazeh Eliyahu HaNavi comes once in a while when he's needed. He's not here, Kavua, giving us Nevua. Whenever he's needed, Eliyahu HaNavi appears at various times in history. So too, Ki Kamoshaya Eliyahu Pam Nire Upam Ne'alam, Kachayanim Pinchas, Velazos Asiba, and that's why he even continues, Lo Shimesh Bekehuna Gedola Kol Yamav. Never, the Pinchas is never called the Kohen Gadol. Abel Shimshu Banav Doros Rabim Acharav Uadayin Kayam. His children. And he was already, even in Divrei Yavam, it says Pinchas was still alive at the time of David. He lived a very long time. But either way, this is the why, that it's Pinchas, but it wasn't he who would come up and encourage the people to do tshuva. He starts right here. The Ishnavi comes and tells them. And they say, okay, fine, we want to do tshuva. So what happens? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayavo Malach Hashem. The Malach Hashem comes. Vayeshev tachas ha'el asher ba'afra. He goes onto the tree in Afra. Asher liyoash aviyo ezri. So the Malach Hashem goes and stands under the tree. And then what? V'gidon beno chovet chitim bagat lahanis mibnei midyon. Gidon, Yoash's son, is beating wheat in the gat. The gat is an olive press. Why was he beating wheat in the olive press? That's exactly the point. So that the midyonim didn't know what he was doing. He had to do it in secret because they were destroying all of their crops and all of their food. So he was busy beating wheat lahanis to try to prevent it from midyon. The Radak quotes Chazal, the Medrash. Interesting, it says the Malach Hashem came, and then it says Gideon was doing this, and then the next pasuk says, Vayera Elav Malach Hashem. The Malach Hashem appeared to him, as if he first came and he was waiting for something. And then Gideon was doing this, and then he appeared to him. Why didn't he just appear to him right away? So Chazal say he came, but he was waiting for Gideon to do one, to earn it, to give a schus. What schus did he have to do? So Rashi quotes, and the Rada quotes, he was waiting. His father was about to beat the wheat. And Gideon says to him, no, let me do it. Let me do it for you. Says the Malach, Kiyamta, I'm reading the Radak, Kiyamta mitzvahs kibud, v'roi ata sheyigalu banai al yodecha. Kibud avaim, so you earn a Yeshua. Kibud avaim has magical power. Remember Yaakov Avinu on his way back to Eretz Yisrael? He's scared that he's going to lose to Esav. Why? Yaakov Avinu has done all the mitzvos. No, Esav has done Kibud Avaim. And I'm nervous, because Kibud Avaim is a defining mitzvah. If you look at the Mishpat Zav here, he quotes that maybe it's not just Kibud Avaim. That's not the only issue. He quotes this from the Saba from Kelm. The issue is that he was ready to shoulder the burden with another. It happens to be his father here. But he was no say ol im chavero. And when somebody is ready to be no say ol, then Geula is brought through their hands, right? None other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Why, how does Moshe achieve to be the leader of Klal Yisrael? What do we know about Moshe? Say Parsha Shmos. What do we know about him? He goes and he protects the Jew. And then he goes and he protects the a Jew against Jew. Then he breaks up the fight between two non-Jews, the daughters of Midian. Right? Someone who is ready to be no Seol, to feel for their fellow man. So that is someone who is right to be the leader for Klal Yisrael, right? And that's quoted by many, and that's what's going on here, right? When he was ready to shoulder the burden, so the Malach says, okay, I am going to appear to him. So what happens then? By the way, they planted, even though everything was being destroyed. They had some type of bitachon. So that bitachon that they were going to be able to eat. They planted, and they were threshing here. They obviously were able to have some grain themselves. So what happens? Vayera Ela Malach Hashem. The Malach Hashem appears to Gideon. Vayomer Elav, and he says to him, Hashem Imcha Gibar Hechayel. Hashem is with you, you strong, brave man. Hashem is with you. Vayomer Elav Gideon. Gideon says this, Bi Adoni. I'm sorry, but I just have a question. Vayesh Hashem Imanu. God's with us. So why are we in dire straits? Why is it so terrible if Hashem is with us? Ayeko Niflosav, where are the great wonders? Asher Sifro Lono Avoseno, that our forefathers told us that he took us out of Mitzrayim, and now we're lost. So the answer to that question is that we deserve it. But he's saying, you know, what's going on here? So if you look in the, let's just read the next pasuk, and then we'll mention what an important point. Vayifen Alav Hashem. So Hashem turns to him. Interestingly, we've just gone from Malach Hashem to Hashem. Vayifen alav Hashem vayomer, Leich b'kochacha zeh, Voshata es Yisrael mikaf Midyan. Go with this strength that you just exhibited, and now go fight Midyan. What did he just exhibit? He just complained. He just said, where are you, God? So what do you mean? What's this great strength? So the great strength is, if you look in Rashi says, It was Pesach. It was the first day of Pesach. And when the Malach came to him, he said, you know, I heard from my father last night. I heard all the great things. So let me ask you, he says to the Malach Hashem, Mimanavshah, if our Zayda, if our fathers were great tzaddikim, so redeem us in their zchus. If they were Rishaim, but you redeemed them anyway, right? So we're also Rishaim, so redeem us anyway. So either way, says Gidon, you have to redeem Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, somebody who fights for Am Yisrael like that, someone who bargains with me like that, you deserve to be the Goel. You deserve to be the one who I'm going to lead. Somebody who is Sanegar, that's the Lashon used in Rashi, Bekochach Hazeh, Bekochach Haschus Hazeh Shalamata Sanegari Albanai, someone who uses such defense excuses for Klal Yisrael, you deserve to be the one that's going to help me defeat Midian. Good. If you look in the Mesulas Yesharim in Perek Yotes, he even says this midah of defending other Jews is something that a chassid has to have. In Perek Yotes, all the way towards the end of the sefer, the 19th Perek, he says, "Faramu zechorna levracha." Shalochazar Gavriel v'nechaz l'vanem paragod el kishali mitzane gori al Yisrael v'gidon ne'amar lo leich b'koch achazed, go with this strength l'vishali mitzane gori al Yisrael. And then he quotes ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ohev, who does God love? Elo l'misha ohev es Yisrael. He loves Jews who love other Jews, who defend other Jews. V'kol ma'asha adam magdil ahavaso l'Yisrael, the greater our love is for fellow Jews, Gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu magdil alav. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us will be that greater. You see somebody who loves everybody, Hashem loves him. Ve'eleim ha-roam ha-mitim sh'Yisrael. These are the true shepherds of Klal Yisrael. Sh'HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz b'hem harbi. Hashem loves them. Sh'moser ma'atzmon al-sona. Why did Hashem choose Gidon? Because he was ready to stick his neck out and to fight for Am Yisrael. Ve'darshim u'mishtav l'mashloma v'tovasim b'chol ha-drachim. It's who is it? L'maz ha-dome? La'av. She'ein oev shum adam yoser mimishu roesh oev es banav avan emenes. Who does a father love? Someone who's good to his kids. If somebody's good to my kids, I'm good to them. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Who's good to my kids? That's the Masilas Yesharim, and that's the gavlus here of Gidon. And then there's one other midah that is perfected by Gidon here, besides the be defending Klal Yisrael. Vayomer la bi Adonai, but Maushias Yisrael. So in Pasuk Tezvav, Gidon says, so me, like Moshe Rabbeinu, saying, Hine alfi hadal b'menashe. I'm the youngest. My shevet is so small. My family is so low. Do I deserve to be the one that's going to help? Vayomer elav Hashem ki eyemach. Don't worry. I'll be with you. V'kisas minyan ki ish echad. I will be with you. You have nothing to worry about. What two midos is he showing here? Number one, defending fellow Jews. Number two, humility. Explain the Bali Musar. Those two go together. Because if I'm humble, I put other people above me. I put other people with me. So those two midos go together. But those are the midos that are discussed here. A, in terms of his anava. And two, in terms of his sanegaria, his defense of Klal Yisrael. So what happens? Vayomer elav. So he says to Hashem, Im nat matzasi chen beinecha, if I have found favor in your eyes, vasis elios, you know, give me a sign. Please give me a sign, shata medaber emi. I need a sign. Ask the Malvim. What is he asking for a sign for? What, he doesn't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He needs a sign? So the Malvim explains that he still knows that he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know why he's asking for a sign? There are two ways Hashem could help him. B'derech HaTeva or B'derech Nes. Is it going to be directly from God? Directly from God is the miraculous way. Or is it going to be B'derech HaTeva? Have to be natural. And Gidon says, I'm only going to have a few Jews fighting with me. So if I'm doing that, then I need a sign that it's going to be you, God, B'derech Nes. And that's why he asks. Not that, oh, are you going to be with me? I want to know which way you're going to be with me. V'yasita li'os sha'atam edaberi me. Says the Malbim, if it's a Malach Hashem, it will be B'derech Teva. If it's you, it's going to be B'derech Nes. Give me a sign, sha'atam edaberi me. Al na somush mizad bo'e alecha, and don't leave. So he says to the Hashem, to the Malach Hashem, don't leave. He runs out. He brings back the basar. And as we know, the story goes, the Malach Elohim tells him, put it on the rock, put the basar and the matzah on the rock. A fire comes down from heaven and burns up and destroys, and burns the entire basar. Vayar Gidon kemalach Hashemu. Gidon sees that really this is serious business. It is the Malach Hashem. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Beis, he quotes, fire never came down from heaven except in the Beis HaMikdash, in the time of Eliyahu, and in the time of Gidon. That's when fire came down. Other than that, there was a fire that came from us. But this is the time he mentions that Gidon. Lefi Adom Sheisha Yared this Lo Haisa Nira Viridasim and Atam Shamarnu Chutz Miyom Shmini Shalamiluim Vishal Gidon Umanoach Shimshon Shahaisa Niris. Maybe Eliyo is another Girsa, but that is what happens here. So he has the sign, and Gidon says, "Whoa!" So the first thing he does is he builds a mizbeach by Yom Erlo, and he calls it Hashem Shalom Lacha Al Tira. Right, he says there, I'm sorry, even before that, Gidon says, it's a Malach Hashem, and he says, whoa, ki alkeim reisi Malach Hashem panim apanim, vayomer lo Hashem shalom lecha al tira. Hashem says to him, peace be with you, al tira. But this pasuk is the source, Chazal tell us in Shabbos Dav Yud, that the name Shalom is also one of the names of God. Because it says here, vayomer lo Hashem shalom lecha, but the Gemara in Shabbos Dav Yud learns that this is one of the names of Hashem, a big discussion, that's Shalom Aleichem. When we say Shalom Aleichem, we're saying God, Shem Hashem, should be upon you. Aleichem Shalom, that's Shem Hashem. The Radvaz has a tshuva, are you allowed to, if somebody's name is Shalom, right, are you allowed to say his name in the bathroom? Are you allowed to say his name in a makam etunach, if it's Shem Hashem? The Mishnah Berurah talks about it also in Arachayim and Simin Pei Dalid, but the question is, the Radvaz says, it depends why you're using it. Shalom Aleichem you can't say in a bathroom, because that's using God's name as God's name. Shalom as a person's name, so that does not have that level of Kedusha. But either way, Gidon then builds a Mizbeach, and he calls it Hashem Shalom Arayom Azeh Odenu Ba'afras Aviyah Ezri. Good, so then what happens? So he starts the battle. Starts the personal battle. It was that night, he takes his father's ox, he takes his father's tree, his Asherah tree, he breaks it, he takes ten men, because he wants it to be a Kiddush Hashem Bitzibur, and he offers it on the Mizbeach. The Gemara in Tzmur, Randaf Chavches, the Radak quotes it, says there were 8 Isurim that he violated that night. It wasn't a violation, because the Malach told him to do it. But he brought a Karban outside the Beis HaMikdash. It was nighttime. He wasn't a Kohen, right? He was from Menashe. He brought it without Kli Shareis. It was an Asherah. It was designated for Avodah Zarah. Many Averis. But it was L'Shem Shamayim. It was because there was a Horah Shah. The Malach told him to do it. And he does it, and they wake up in the morning. They wake up early in the morning. Some suggest because that was the day they were going to use this special animal. They were waiting 7 years to fatten up this animal, to sacrifice it to the Baal, and that was the night before. That Gidon burns it, they wake up, what happened? They say to Yoash, what's going on? So he says to him, Ha tem terivum Baal? Are you going to fight for the Baal? Im atem toshino, so you're going to save him? Let him fight his own battles. Vayigra lo bayamahu Yerubal lemar. So, the father, Yoash, gave Gidon the nickname Yerubal, Shenemar, as it says, Yarev Bo HaBaal. He fought against the Baal. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, even, on Daf Chaf Hei, says every leader in every generation is equal. The greatest leaders of Am Yisrael are, you don't look at it as subjective to the other leaders of other generations. Every leader has a significance. And the Gemara says, Yerubal Bedoro, Kimoshe Bedoro. Yerubal, Gidon is Kemir to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, Dafka him has that special praise. So what happens at the end? Now we have he's after the he destroys the his father's idols. So now Ruach Hashem lavshas Gidon. He has the Ruach Hashem that goes upon him. He blows shofar and he gathers everyone. He gathers his family, his area, the Aviezer. He gets Menashe, Zavul, and Naphtali, and they're getting ready. And then he asks for another sign. Another sign, he puts a little geese, a little wool in the middle of the floor. Hashem, please make this wet and everything dry. It worked. Make this dry and everything wet. It worked. And again, the Malbim is asked, the Radak asks, what is he asking for another sign for? So the Radak says, quoting Rav Sadia Gaon, the Radak says, even though you're not allowed to test God, right, so this is Daraisa, Lo Sanaswa, Hashem Alekechem, but here, he was worried again that he wasn't worthy. That's the point. That's why he kept asking for signs. Not because he was testing God, but his humility was getting the better of him. And that's what the Malbim also says. What is it? What is the What are the two signs? The wool symbolizes him. The rest of the floor symbolizes the tzibur. He says, am I worthy? Are they worthy? And that's why he asks for a sign that everything else should be wet. That would prove that they're worthy. And then he says, is the wool going to be wet? And he says, that would prove that I am worthy as well. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him these signs, and he gets up, and he encamps on Ein Harod, and the battle is set to begin, Be'ez Hashem, in the next parak, as we will see who he is going to fight with. Okay, we'll stop here.